from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Noon. But right now we're talking about Patrick Willis, his enshrinement in the Hall of Fame, and just what that kind of represented for that section, that era of 49ers football, because his head coach, Jim Harbaugh, is also going to be there. I mean, to me, Willis, and he was the leader of that team. He symbolized tenacity. He symbolized toughness. He symbolized the grit that I think embodied that era of 49ers football. But if I asked you, Goo, you know, what's the identity of the 49ers right now, of the San Francisco 49ers entering 2024? What is their identity?
Wow. I'm going to say talent. They're talented everywhere, Evan, I believe. I wanted to say physicality, but with Greenlaw going down, I'm starting to worry about what I saw in the playoff run. You didn't ask this, but I'm telling you, in the playoff run, what I didn't see, because I hold the Niners team on both sides of the ball at an upper echelon, and they didn't meet that for me. So I don't know, now that Greenlaw, we do know, won't be on the field Monday night against the Jets. I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm sorry, I can't get past that. That's going to hurt. And maybe they just knocked that out the park and you don't even miss them. But that leads me to believe something's going on with this great run in regard to the Niners and the physicality component, because I saw Green Bay almost take you down. I saw Detroit do it. I don't know why you didn't win the Super Bowl. So when you ask me going into this season right now, the constant, the one thing that I just, when I hear the San Francisco 49ers 2024, it's talent, Evan. That's their identity. And what bothers me about my answer is there's no definitive about, is that talent good enough to get it done, because you've been good enough, but you hadn't got it done. And there's a multitude of reasons why.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would refute you saying that the Niners have been the most talented roster over the last 5 years, you know, just from top to bottom. Now, teams have been different. There's been different parts in and out. Other teams have had talent as well, but just as a whole, like, who's got more players? Who's got more dudes? That's what's been so frustrating about them not being able to get it done. This is from the 650. We, the San Francisco 49ers, we play with an innovative and high-powered offense, particularly using the West Coast offense to emphasize short, precise passing, primarily featuring Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in football. Our strong defensive units, featuring standout players like Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, are crucial in controlling games and applying pressure on opponents, forcing them to turn the ball over or give it up. We combine a rich tradition of excellence with a passionate fan base, creating a formidable and dynamic presence on the field.
Well, wow.
That's well put. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm going to boil it down from that, along with what you said, Goo, the identity of this team is continuity. And what I struggle with is if that continuity is good enough. That's the question that we just have. Is that continuity, the chemistry, the core? Because not only have they had the most talent, I think they've also had the most players that have remained since 2019. You know, as far as players on offense, players on defense.
I hadn't thought about that.
They got the same amount of guys. Well, not the same amount, but they got the most guys from that first Super Bowl run. That's a long time to keep this thing together. And it's produced a lot of NFC Championship games, 2 Super Bowl appearances. But is the continuity good enough? Like, what can kind of shake up this team? Or do people not believe that it needs to be shaken in any direction? It just needs to be laid down and try and walk the path towards, hopefully, winning it all.
I love that word. Let me throw this to you when you talk about continuity. Do the holdouts or the situation of Ayuk and Trent Williams, do they impact the continuity, or is it just nothing to see here for you, Evan? They'll get back. Whenever they get back, they'll be ready to play. Or are you kind of like, that's what I'm talking about. It does take a hit because these two, I mean, two dudes they need. Nobody could sit here and lick anybody in the face and say they don't need these two dudes. We're assuming it's going to be Larry Kruger. We'll play this down later. He was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, said Ayuk is going to get traded. Filippone in Pittsburgh. He thought that again. Hey, just tell us how you feel and what you see. But Evan, does that impact continuity, things off the field before the actual games, these holdouts?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, that's why I do think, number one, they want both of those players back in the fold. And number two, they need both of those players back in the fold because
they need.
That is the strength of this team. That is their identity. It's continuity. If you don't have the same pieces, I'm not so sure what I'm supposed to believe in. Now, they still have McCaffrey. They still have Kittle. You know, they still have a lot of things.
Right.
But
Debo.
They still have an embarrassment of riches. Which apparently has been ruining a lot of viewing experiences for Team USA. With more on that in a little bit. But the embarrassment of riches in San Francisco needs to stay together, at least until you have to break it up. And I see no reason why they have to do anything outside of continuing to run this thing back and see how far it goes.
It's funny you go there because I put your face. I just erased your face with the curly hair and put Steinies on your shoulders. And he would say what I'm about to say. He would be like, Guru, you got to step back. You got to have perspective. But watching that game again, the Patrick Willis Niners, I'll just call it that, the Jim Harbaugh Niners, Evan, they were so dominant on both sides of the ball. We were watching, Michael Vick-esque Colin Kaepernick do things that we hadn't seen, not just in the regular season, in the playoffs. And you just talked about it. It ended with Heartbreak Hotel once on the biggest stage, and then two other times on the next biggest stage, the NFC Championship games. And then, okay, Harbaugh's gone. You're on hard times. You build it back up with Kyle, but I can't shake Niner fans' heartbreak from here we are under Kyle. You're right. How many times, Evan, have talking heads and pundits said the Niners have the best collective roster? Do you know, like, they've earned that. Kudos to John and Kyle. But damn it, here we go again. Multiple NFC championship losses and a Super Bowl loss just last year where you were up 10. The similarities are scary. And the question I have, Evan, is when does it finally happen? Because the Niners at one point were 5-0 when they went. And now, under different regimes, in this regime, you've lost 3 Super Bowls and multiple NFC championship games.
But when does it change? I mean, I think there's only really one part of this team that can change, that can grow, and that can separate this team from those past three that you talked about that came up short. That's the quarterback. And that's why if the identity is going to change, you know, if it is going to move from continuity into something else, that has to be driven home by Brock Purdy. And that's what I find fascinating about this season. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. I think he's the most intriguing player in the entire National Football League, because the 49ers have been knocking at the door for what seems like the better part of my life, but they haven't been able to kick the door in. They've had everything, right? I mean, if I just lined up the teams right now, I lined up the teams right now, and you asked national media, you asked local media, you asked fans, I feel like 90% of people would tell you that the best roster in the NFL is in Santa Clara.
There's no doubt.
One of the best head coaches in the league is in Santa Clara.
And there's kudos in that. I'm not blind to that fact.
One of the best.
None of us are.
I mean, the spine of this organization is about as strong as any. You know, from top to bottom, they got it all. So what can be the difference? What is the difference? I think the thing that Patrick Willis's team, to go back to them, was missing was a quarterback that could get them over the top, because they had it on defense. They had a great running game, had a solid offensive line, good head coach.
Now, Evan, that was good cap. They got him to the bowl. But that was good cap in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was at the prime of his peak of his powers.
Colin Kaepernick was maybe the most dynamic quarterback that the Niners have had in recent memory. But, I mean, on that day, he got outplayed by Joe Flacco, in my opinion. Man. You know, Colin Kaepernick was a sensational talent, but he flamed out quite quickly, at least for, you know, kind of took looking at the totality now for very different reasons. But even before all the stuff with him happened, you know, I'm not so sure that he was going to be wearing a gold jacket the way that Patrick Willis was.
So when you just back to your Purdy point, because you are right when you use the word intrigue, is there any fear involved in that intrigue in regard to can he do more if he needed to, Evan? Or we talk about the future and this check and this payday that we're assuming he's going to get, and right now he's going to get it, how much we don't know. But is there, to me, it's intriguing, but in that word, is there fear or wanting to know more about just how good he is?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about, and I'll actually let Brock Purdy speak for himself because he was on with Tim Kawakami via the Odyssey original podcast earlier this week, the TK show. Here's what he had to say.
It's not like I've walked in and go, all right, year three, my third year playing here, now this is my responsibility. No, it's just it's been something over time that, you know, I think I've earned the respect of the guys here by the things that I've done, just how I carry myself in a humble manner. And they want to go to war with that kind of guy. And so it's sort of just naturally come about. But for me, it doesn't mean change or be a rah-rah guy, but be myself and be that competitive leader by nature. And guys want to follow that and go to war with that. So that's how I look at it.
See, when I hear Brock Purdy defining what his leadership role is or how he's taken the next step forward, a lot of those qualities, I think, are qualities that Patrick Willis had. Now, they're very different players. You know, they're different human beings. They play different spots, have different physical gifts. But the idea of just gradually building himself into a leader with his play, not being the rah-rah guy, being competitive, having that fire, that's something that Patrick Willis was. No?
No, no doubt. And I'm not going to tell you, just for me, Evan, that's a prerequisite, like being the opposite or a Draymond Green, a guy that's very demonstrative and, you know, draws attention to himself, like a Ray Lewis. I don't prefer one or the other, but I guess
whatever gets it done, no doubt. Basically.
But the bottom line is, as great as Willis and that Niner team was, and 3 years into...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Purdy, Evan, they haven't got it done. And I'm damn sure not saying it was Willis or Purdy's fault, but the one constant in Ninerville is close but no cigar.
No, first of all, this is his third year. You know, he's really only had one full season to prove it. But that's why, you know, I think there's a lot of urgency surrounding, at least for me, this season. And I don't know if fans feel like there's urgency. I don't know if Purdy feels like there's urgency.
What would Ayuk say? What the hell's going on, man?
I think there's urgency for Ayuk to get his money. You know,
he wants
to win.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's urgency from Trent Williams. You know that. Like,
I'll never know what's going on here.
Both
are they
those players
them up,
are
Evan, just to stay at home.
Who, Trent?
Yeah.
No, well, they can't. No, they literally cannot not fine him.
Wow.
You can only choose to pick up fines for players that are on their rookie deal, I believe. Trent Williams is not on his rookie deal.
Man.
So he's stacking 50 G's every single day. And he's making a lot of money, so he'll be okay. But he also wants to make guaranteed money to make sure that he's all right. I mean, the point about Ayuk, I think, is interesting. Is like,
what's going on?
Well, I mean, what's going on is I think he's just waiting right now. And I don't know. They could have a wink-wink deal behind the scenes. I feel like it's important that just optically Trent Williams gets his money before Ayuk gets his. Maybe I'm off base there.
And that's all predicated and based off of just importance to the team, right? Because I feel like we could see a scenario, as long as both get done, I don't care who's first, but you feel like they're intertwined, like Trent's going to get handled before Ayuk. Because it's funny now, when I go back to that video, which I assumed Carter sent you, Ken, and I'm thinking, oh, by the time I wake up this beautiful payday Friday morning, Ayuk will have been signed. But then hearing you just say what you said, I'm thinking, well, we would hear two. There would be two bulletins out in regard to Trent, because you think he's going to go before Ayuk or get taken care of before Ayuk.
And maybe they happen on the same day. I just also, well, number one, I think Trent Williams is more important than Brandon Ayuk.
No, we all do.
And secondly, McCaffrey got done pretty quick. So that also happened before, obviously, all this went down. I think McCaffrey restructured his contract in June. You know, so that happened a while ago. And as we heard from Jennifer Lee Chan yesterday on the River Islands guest line, is that it just comes down to money. So I don't know when both of those deals are going to happen. When I saw the tweet from Coward yesterday, my eyes were raised, but my eyebrows were raised.
Yeah, there you
I didn't
go.
Really like, I don't know.
Good try, Colin.
Well, I think it means, along with everything else we've seen, that it is going to happen. And that, I don't know, that should make, I think, most 49ers fans feel good, because that means that Ayuk's not going anywhere.
Well,
which,
I don't want to pit Kruger against Cowherd, but our own Larry Kruger said, he's there every day, Evan. He feels like Brandon might be traded.
Well, do you want to just do that right now?
I would love to.
All right, so Larry Kruger was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday via the River Islands guest line, and here's what he thinks will happen with Brandon Ayuk.
You know, I think we're reading into it too much. I mean, you got to think of it this way, Grandy. The two most dialed-in football people in the world are probably Rap Sheet for the NFL Network and Schefter for ESPN. They both are reporting that a deal is not imminent. So what was that? What did we see there? And I'll tell you, I don't know. It was, I don't know if that was, a hug of, hey, we've climbed a major hurdle in the negotiation and the rest is just dotting I's and crossing T's, or if that was more like, hey, you know what? We're going to move you on somewhere else. I hope for the Niners and their fans that they're getting this deal done and he's not moving on. But if I was wagering based on that video, I would say there's a very good chance he's traded. That would be my thought.
And nobody's wrong in this. Nobody has an answer, but we're not even talking about deal. He was saying maybe they cleared the hurdle and a deal is imminent, but Evan, this is crazy. There's no bulletin board you could take me to and say it makes sense or the Niners are equal or even better without Brandon Ayuk.
No, they're not. But the devil's advocate position of it, and I know I generally occupy that position by the man who sits in this chair. He'll be back on Monday, by the way.
Tiny.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, yes, like on his face, the Niners are not better. Ricky Pearsall, he could be impressive. You know, he looks really good for a rookie. They're not better without a guy who was a second-team All-Pro receiver last year. But what you also have to weigh is, well, what else am I giving up? You know, in fact, we started this day talking about the identity of the Harbaugh teams.
Yeah. Physicality.
Defense. Yeah. I feel like they were a defense-first team. Okay, well, if you pay Brandon Ayuk, and you continue to invest this much money in your offense, you might take a step back on the other side of the football. Someone like Charvarius Ward is a free agent after this upcoming season. So is, I think, Diamador Lenore. You have to make decisions about your defensive line. How is your safety room going to look? Hufanga is up at the end of his deal. You know, so if you choose Ayuk, yeah, you're right. You're better this year than not having him. But how much does that hurt you down the line? It's probably the same thing that they're trying to figure out with Trent Williams. Not that they're going to pay him or not, but how much and how much does he want? How much guaranteed money does he want? And how does that impact our flexibility moving forward when we already have to table all this money for a quarterback after next summer?
One of my favorite stores I used to shop at growing up, Evan, The Gap. there's everything you said is spot on, but there's obviously a gap in regard to the money Trent and Ayuk are asking for. And right now, as it stands, what the team is willing to pay. And I know you guys kid me on this show all the time about, oh, Guru, you'd bankrupt the team. You wouldn't be a good GM. But Evan, you said something to me that I just, if we were playing ping pong, I would have hit it back super hard. I don't care about the year. I care about this year. I care about this team and its window, regardless if you believe it's open or not. But if you allow the finances to make you lose Ayuk, to me, that just makes trying to accomplish your said goal this year way more difficult. So I'm not mad at Larry. I'm not mad at Cowherd. I'm just blown away. It's where it's at now. And that video had to mean something. Or was he saying, hey, let's go get Slurpees at the local 7-Eleven when we're done. I'll meet you. Like, how did that not produce a deal 48 hours after?
No, and I'm not saying, look, I want Brandon Ayuk on the team. I think he's a hell of a receiver. But, yeah, I also want to think about this season. But, God forbid, the 49ers don't win the Super Bowl, which I hate to break it to people. It hasn't happened since I was a year old. Then Damn. You do have to think about not just this year, but the next, thank you, but also the next year and the year after that, yeah. Because you want to be competitive. The 49ers have done, I think, a really good job of pushing some, but not all of their chips in for maximizing this window. And I continue to hear that, you know, this is the last year. This is the last year. And I do think that this year and next to some extent, it is big. You know, you want Brandon Ayuk back and Trent Williams under lock and key.
Continuity. That was your word.
You want the continuity, but what is the cost of the continuity? You know, I think a big reason why, like, the Niners have always been able to operate with the most talent in the league because they haven't had an answer at the quarterback position.
Wow.
Even Jimmy Garoppolo, like, his contract by the time that they were into their Super Bowl window was very manageable. When they paid him, he was the highest paid quarterback. 2 years later, he was not the highest paid quarterback. He certainly wasn't 2021 when he led them to the NFC Championship game. Right now, they are looking at a quarterback that is going to, I think, reset the market. And so that finally is a position that factors into their decisions.
Wow.
Like,
but he's not the one holding out, Evan. I guess I'm having a problem with that premise of we're worried about something down the road. How much continuity can you really have if you let price cost you talent?
Well, it's already costed you talent. I mean, Eric Armstead's not on the team anymore. I'd rather have Eric Armstead playing no. nose tackle than or defensive tackle than Malik Collins.
You wanted no part of a pay cut.
No, and I can't blame him for that.
But see, I feel like his departure, Evan, they miss him, but it wasn't impactful like an Ayuk, possibly.
Well, unless this year you can't stop the run. And Armstead was banged up a lot of last year, and they weren't great against the run with him. But the year before, you know, the sliding him from defensive end to defensive tackle, that was a big difference in them being able to stop the run. Man. I think their defensive line having a rotating cast of characters is a big reason why they've been successful. They have less guys or less impactful players beyond the kind of 1 through 4 than they have in years past.
DeForest Buckner too, Evan.
And that's because you've had to make decisions about paying guys like they're deciding about paying Ayuk and Trent.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.